OTC is go.
Thank you, this is go.
PTC is go.
Copy, this is go.
Houston flight is go.
Molotov.
STM is go.
Safety comp is go.
STU is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Brightside Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot. Diane Sorey all the way over there at the Patriot Factor. It's the Friday night show, folks. Good evening, Diane.
Good evening, Craig. Are you recovered from that fiasco last night?
Good Lord.
I've never heard so much lying out of one man's mouth in such a short period of time.
I'm sitting there watching that last night. Folks, we're going to talk a lot about this in the next segment. Okay, but I'll just say this right now. I was watching that thing last night, and I thought, there is not enough popcorn on earth to make this entertaining.
Yeah.
You're right. I the sheer volume of lies coming out of Joe Biden last night was unbelievable.
You know, you think the fact that he had the questions beforehand, and folks, he did, because if you notice, whenever the moderator asked a question, he looked right down in at his paper. That must have been his crib sheets, because he was well prepared. He came up with too much too fast.
Yeah. Well, like I said, we'll get into all this.
Yes.
The great debate last night is... That's our second segment for tonight's show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the third segment for tonight's show, we're talking about Judge, soon to become Justice, Amy Coney Barrett.
Yes.
Now, can I ask a really weird question about Justice Barrett?
Sure.
Am I the only one who has a hard time saying Amy Coney Barrett instead of Amy Comey Barrett?
Yeah, that seems to be a common thing for people. I don't know why, but maybe, you know, Coney Island, you know, we think of the name Coney followed by Island.
Yeah, but I every time I say her name, I want to say Comey, like James Comey.
Oh, please don't even equate her in the same sentence.
Well, but what I'm saying is, and I don't know if it's the M in Amy, and you want to say another M for alliteration, if your brain just does that, or if we've said the name James Comey so often over the last 3 years that I can't quit saying it.
Right. It happens.
Amy Coney Barrett.
Barrett, yes.
But we'll be talking about her in the final segment of tonight's show. But... you know, it's Friday night. It's winter here in the upper northern part of Nebraska now.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes. Tomorrow night is supposed to be 5 degrees. Five.
Hey, one of the reasons I don't live in Nebraska, I live in beautiful paradise.
That is 5 degrees away from not having any temperature at all. You gotta look at it that way. So, you know, but yeah, it's getting cold here. It snowed last night.
Yuck, the white stuff.
But let me tell you something, though. Speaking of snow, they're getting snow right now up in the Estes Park, Colorado area, up between Estes and Loveland, Colorado.
Okay.
And that's a great thing, because the biggest wildfire in Colorado history has been burning right between Estes Park and Loveland in that.
That helps.
Oh, I'll tell you, and it's a horrible thing. It's a horrible thing. A friend of a friend posted up some photos. This friend of the friend, she lives in Estes Park. Estes Park is my old stomping grounds. I used to go up there every summer, went up there for years and years, 43 years. I went up in that area. And what a beautiful community Estes Park is. Sorry it's so full of liberals, but, you know, it's Colorado. And that wildfire, that thing's been burning for over a month, and they just can't contain it. And part of the reason they can't contain it is because of where it is. It's the Big Thompson Canyon that runs through there, down through Glen Haven, Devil's Gulch Road that goes down through there, and that eventually leads out to Loveland, Colorado. And there's another fire down near Loveland, or in Boulder County, and those two are now starting to converge. So hopefully the snow they're getting out there today is going to help put that fire out.
Well, is there fire caused by bad forest management as well? Or was it humans that set it? Or was it naturally occurring?
I don't know. I have not heard any word on the cause of it. Maybe one of our listeners knows better the cause of it. But it's a beautiful area. It's an absolutely gorgeous area. But it's also excessively rugged. I mean, in most places where that fire is burning, heavily forested, it would be almost impossible to get people in there.
If it's snowing in October, I have no interest in it.
Well, normally I wouldn't either, you know, but if it helps with that situation in Colorado, that's a good thing.
Sure, sure.
You know, there's a lot of beautiful homes up there, a lot of vacation homes, a lot of small cabins. A lot of people have been evacuated. A lot of buildings have burned. You know, it's a bad situation. It's bad. So hopefully the snow up there will help that. Okay, so we're going to do a few quick hitters tonight. We haven't done quick hitters in a while because, well, the news cycle, you know, it's been pretty busy.
Yeah, well, Craig, I've got a little tidbit for people out in our audience.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know that for the past couple of days, and it's been on the news, people have been getting phone calls from Russia, and the Democrats are claiming that it's Russian interference. Well, today I got one of those phone calls.
Comrade Diane got a call from the motherland?
From the motherland.
Wow.
So what I did was I decided to do some research, and all these Russian calls are apparently coming from area code 578.
Well, hey, where's that?
I did some research, folks. You hold on to your hats. Area code 578 are liberal bastions. They are Schenectady, New York, Albany, New York, Troy, New York, Atlanta, Georgia, New York City, Plattsburgh, New York, Bellstrom, Spa, New York, Harrisonburg, Virginia, Marietta, Georgia, Roanoke, North Carolina. Those cities are bastions of, Democrats.
Wait a minute. How can one area code cover so many different states? I mean, that doesn't sound
right.
No.
These are major cities in the U.S. within something called 578. Now, isn't it, a little bit coincidental that all these cities that have 578 in them, in the beginning as the area codes, whatever, are Democrat cities? And here it is, the Democrats are once again screaming, it's Biden's woes are all Russia, Russia, Russia. But it seems the phone calls are not originating in Russia, even though they're showing up, and I have it on my phone, they're showing up with the word Russia underneath them.
Wow.
but they're not coming from Russia because Russia doesn't have that as an area code.
Coming from the USA instead of the USSR.
Right, and they're coming from places that have very high Democrat populations, and the one that really rings the bell, New York City.
I'm sure it's just a coincidence.
Just a coincidence.
I'm sure of it. Otherwise, I'd be shocked.
Yes. Very interesting.
Well, I haven't gotten my Russian phone call yet, so I'm feeling a little left out over here.
Ah, okay. Maybe you are. They don't love you.
what'd you say the area code was? 578?
578, and I'm looking at it right now.
Okay, so folks, if you get a 578 call, brush up on your Russian.
Yeah, I mean, and it says right on my phone, right underneath the number, it has the word Russia. Now, of course, I didn't pick it up because I was aware of what's going on. But isn't it funny that these calls started just a few days ago as the story about the Bidens broke? And then the Democrats, especially, what's his name, the two idiots, Chucky Schumer and Adam Schiff, they're all claiming it's a Russia. It's, you know, Russian disenfranchisement, and it's a Russian hoax against us and this and that. But when you do your research, 578 is here in this country.
Diane, I'm beginning to think you're getting cynical. I'm coming around to the idea that you're becoming cynical.
Cynical? Mm-hmm.
Just a little.
Do you think in today's world that we all don't have some cynicism within us?
Well, I certainly don't.
No, you're just snark.
Folks, if you get a 578 call, if that shows up on your phone, get prepared. They're probably going to tell you, don't vote for Trump, with a Russian accent, a fake Russian accent.
That's what I'm thinking of. Of course, I didn't answer the number, but it's here in my phone.
Yep. Something to look forward to.
Yes.
Something to look forward to. Hey, did you hear about Twitter? Twitter suspended Trump campaign press secretary Hogan Gidley just a couple of hours before last night's debate.
Right. They stopped him from, you know, putting up anything about the debate, anything pro-Trump, listen to the debate, etc. And they have a great reason.
Why, pray
tell?
I'd
say that, you know, use your air quotes and put your finger down your throat. They suspended him because he tweeted evidence showcasing the potential for voter fraud.
Why, how dare he?
How dare he? Exactly.
I mean, there is no potential for voter fraud. The mail is running like a well-oiled machine. Ballots are getting to where they need to be. Nobody's getting double ballots. They haven't found a single lost ballot. No ballot's been lost. I mean, what could possibly go wrong?
Well, the dead votes are all there, and they've all been counted. Ruth
situation normal.
You know, got her ballot in right on time.
I'm sure a lot of dead people did that.
Yeah, right.
You know, and I'm sure a lot of those dead people will vote more than once.
Right, exactly. But I mean, what a reason, because he showed evidence that showcased the potential for voter fraud. Now, just, what was it, about a week and a half ago, I actually posted online a video of found, they weren't ballots per se, they were the request for the ballots. Mm-hmm. They were all Republican, sent to the Republican, the Republican National Committee, asking for ballots. They were found shredded and destroyed it looked like an alleyway. The video is up on my timeline on Facebook. How can they say there's no voter fraud when countless videos have been put up of evidence of voter fraud?
Well, we hear every few days we hear another story like that. I mean, we see something come out in the news wires. They found several hundred or several thousand, in some cases, ballots, you know, that were in trash or never delivered. Or, you know, there was one here a while back where thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people got more than one ballot.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, but there's no potential for voter fraud.
No, you know, the U.S. Postal Service is so above board. Yeah, you know, put the proverbial finger down your throat, guys. I mean, snail mail.
It's just about useless anymore, isn't it, snail mail?
It really is. Well, I'm of the mindset that no mail-in voting should be allowed except for homebound people, obviously our military overseas, and people who can prove they could not get out of the house, let's say for medical reasons. Everybody else, this is an election for the president of our country. If you can't give up some time to go on election day and do your civic duty, then maybe you don't belong here.
Good point. Mm-hmm. You know, I just saw a thing the other day talking about the post office. They're raising the price of stamps again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I remember years ago when I lived in Phoenix, I was standing in line at the post office, and it was, you know, the day before or something, they announced they were going to jack up the price of a stamp. And I don't remember what it was or what it was going to, but it was only, you know, like they usually do, a couple of pennies, whatever it was. And the lady in front of me in line, she said, "Oh, did you see they're going to raise the price of stamps again?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "You know why they do that, don't you?" She goes, "No, I guess I don't." And I said, "Well," I said, "you see up there along the counter all those 'next window please' signs? Every time they need to get some more of those signs, they raise the price of the stamps."
Oh, my God. Well, did you ever notice that as the service gets worse, the price of postage goes up?
Well, and who wouldn't want to pay more for less service?
I know.
I can't tell you. I cannot tell you when the last time was I put a stamp on an envelope, dropped it in a post box.
Oh, I have. I mean, well, they pick it up. I don't have to drop it in, but it's ridiculous. You know, sometimes here, the best thing I love is when you get a package from the post office that can fit in your mailbox, okay? So the mail carrier will walk the package up to your door, knock on your door. They'll give you the package. But they can't bring the mail with them. They put the mail in the mailbox. They leave that there, but they'll walk up the package.
Very handy.
That really gets me.
Very, very handy. Well, you know, look, voter fraud, no big deal. Not happening, according to the liberals. And, you know, they wouldn't say it if it wasn't true. So.
Oh, that's true. They are the party of truth. Mm-hmm.
Here's something interesting. President Trump today made a little announcement there in the Oval Office. It seems another country has joined the Israel peace deal, and it's Sudan.
Yes, Sudan of all things. You remember they had a lot of terrorist problems, but they seem to have gotten it under control. And now they have decided that Israel is the way to go. They are tired of Iran, the mullahs, and all, you know, the nuts over there, telling them who and who they not can be friends with.
Well, they're normalizing relations, which means they're going to have open travel between the two countries. They're going to have economic sharing. They're going to have technological sharing, medical sharing, everything that normalized countries do. And so that's great for Sudan. Yes. It also helps bring more peace, more stabilization to the region. But not only that, President Trump said today when he made that announcement that Saudi Arabia is going to be joining that peace accord very shortly.
Yes. Well, we kind of knew that. You know, we've been talking about that for weeks. But what was good about this, when Sudan paid $335 million to the terror victims and their families, remember all the bombings that were going on in America? Oh. Men were being killed.
Right.
With the announcement that they have normalized relationships with Israel, Trump said Sudan would be removed from the state sponsors of terrorism list. So Sudan is now going to gain a friend in America. They're now going to have a trading partner with Israel. And more Arab nations are coming on board. And once Saudi Arabia officially announces, you know how you're always talking about potty humor and Pampers and wadding up panties?
Me? Well, I do that?
Yeah, you do that. Well, Iran is going to need a whole bunch of Depends.
Well, luckily, they're wearing them on their heads.
Oh, that's true. They just have to take them on their heads. True.
You seen the mullahs lately?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, no, this is great news because, you know, every country that joins in on this, the prospect for peace and stabilization of the Middle East gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And this is literally the Trump doctrine in the Middle East.
Yes.
You know, Trump went and negotiated with these countries on his own, left the UN out of it, you know, said, look, here's what's got to happen. If you want some economic success in your countries, if you're tired of all the terrorism and terrorism activities and terrorism groups that are plaguing your area, you know, you want normalized relations with the United States. You know, being on the terror list can't be a big boon to your economy.
I wouldn't think so.
You know, then get together with Israel, open your doors, bury the hatchet, and let's move on. Let's make this whole region better. You know, the Middle East, you know, people don't think of Sudan as part of the Middle East, and technically, it's probably not.
It's Africa, Africa.
It's North Africa, but you know, so's Egypt, North Africa.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
And so, when you expand this out the way that President Trump has, and the way Prime Minister Netanyahu has, when you expand this deal out, the Abraham Accord. What you're doing is making the stabilized region bigger and bigger. You're creating a buffer zone, a huge one.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
In other words, in simpler terms, you're saying, too bad, Iran.
You're giving them the finger.
Yeah, that's really what it is.
Iran's going to be out there on their own little island of terrorism, and they're not going to have hardly any friends left.
No. Russia is not going to side with Iran when push comes to shove.
No, when all these other countries are falling into line and getting aboard on this peace deal, Russia is going to look at that and go, well, the economic momentum here is not with Iran.
Right.
You know, and Putin is all about being an economic player. So, you know, that's another one of those dominoes that's going to go. I mean, just like we said, Saudi Arabia was going to go. It's nice to know the president's been listening to our show and taking our suggestions.
hey, we never know. Who knows? Yeah,
who knows? Who knows? Finally, in the quick hitters tonight, Diane. You have found yourself once again on the wrong side of Facebook sensibilities.
Yes, I have. I've upset the powers that be this time. However, this time I have taken action. You know, as most people know, I've been in Facebook jail over the past couple of years about, what is it, Craig, 45, 46, 47 times. And it's always been for conservative views.
Right.
whether it's support of Donald Trump, pro-Second Amendment, whatever. And they've always given this BS excuse and whatever our community standards, and you find their crap in their community standards. However, the other day, I put up the podcast of Tuesday's show, and I went fine on the pages. When I went into the groups, it said, "You are temporarily restricted from complex entities' interactions until December 19th, 2020 at 2:17 p.m. Okay, in other words, no longer the 1, 2, 3, you know, 1 month banning. Now I'm banned for 2 months on groups only. I can still comment, post on pages, pictures, whatever. Okay, well, this got me really mad because for the 7 years that Craig and I have done Right Side Patriots, I have never been stopped from posting our show. So it's nothing new. So I call Craig and I'm like really pissed off. Mm-hmm. So he has the idea, let's go into their community standards online, because neither one of us have heard this excuse, complex entities interactions.
In fact, I had to ask Diane like 3 times, what did they call that? Because I'm like, what the hell is that?
Right. Right. So we go in there. Well, first, let me backtrack a little bit. When they do that, you know, they send you the thing. If you think this is unfair, please message us and tell us why. All day long, I tried to message them, and every time I did it, it said, quote, "We could not process your request. Please try again later." So I figured, you know what? My finger is tired of this, you know, typing to Facebook. So I decided I'm going to take a different route here. Okay, now we come to the point where Craig and I are in their community standards. On their community standards, right smack on it, it says complex entities interactions in community standards does not exist. Their exact words were, no such community standard exists. Okay, so now we know. As a conservative, as somebody who has lambasted Facebook and Twitter for their election interference, I'm targeted. I know I've had a Facebook, you know, bullseye on my back for quite a while. So I said, you know what? Enough is enough. Senator Ted Cruz is the chairman of the committee that's looking into all this nonsense going on with big tech. So I decided, okay, I don't live in Texas. The Senate office usually does not take responses from out-of-state residents. So I called a connection of mine in Texas. And I explained everything that was going on to him. He's been a longtime friend. And he said, I want you to write up a letter. You got screenshots of their community standards? I said, yep, I got it all. We put together a letter. He not only sent it to Ted Cruz's D.C. office, but to the local Senate office in his area of Texas. And on Monday, he's going to be getting a phone call back from the office that they were kind of interested in what I had to say in that letter, because I had the proof. Many people complain, you know, about, you know, they do this to me, they do this to me, and they have every right to complain. But not everybody thinks fast enough to get a screenshot go into their community standards.
Right. And let's be honest here. You know, we went into the community standards and we got that message that, you know, there's a search bar in there. We type that in and says there is nothing. And I thought, okay. So I went to do a screenshot of it. And the minute you hit any kind of screenshot thing, that message disappears.
Right. But I have a way of overriding that.
Right. And so we got it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and now Senator Cruz is aware of what's going on with this?
Well, his secretary is aware.
He's aware. He's aware of everything. He's Ted Cruz. He's like Santa. He knows everything.
That's true.
He knows who's been naughty and who's been nice.
Right.
You know? And trust me, he's making a list. He's taking names, and he's about to start kicking butt.
Right. I mean, so let's see what happens, because right now he is in the process of calling into D.C. Zucky and the head of Twitter about their election interference. And part of that is the silencing of conservative voices.
Now, from what I understand, Twitter and Facebook, they're people, Zucky and whoever the Twitter guy is, the twit, the head twit,
the head twit.
at Twitter, they're not going to be there until after the election.
The election. Of course not.
But, I mean, you know, you think about it, it's only 10 days, and there are some other things going on in Congress
Donald
right
Trump's
now.
So. Ads are not being allowed. That's the issue.
But so this is going to be interesting. So Monday, there might be a phone call back to your connection. You'll hear from your connection. His people will call your people. Your people will call my people. And we'll keep you updated, folks. We'll keep you updated.
Yeah,
we find out.
I even told my connection, I said, you know what, if he was interested in this, and there's no saying that he's going to be interested in my little problems with Facebook, but let's say if he is, hell, I'll go up to D.C. and I'll testify if they want.
Go in there on crutches and limp your way in there. Look, you got to do what you got to do. Folks, yeah. We're a little past time here, but that's okay. We're going to take a bottom of the hour break. A little bit later in the show, about a half an hour from right now, we're going to be talking about Amy Coney Barrett. Got a big vote coming up on Monday, and we're going to let you know what's going to happen there. And when we come back from this, our quasi bottom of the hour break, we're going to be talking about last night's big debate.
Oh my God, we're going to be laughing our way through it.
Good Lord. What a clown show that was on Biden's part last night. We'll get into that here in just a minute, folks. So you stay there, we'll stay here, and we'll be back with more Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot. Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor. together with you on a Friday night edition of the show. And if you miss any part of the show, or if you want to hear it over again tomorrow morning, you just hop right on over there to RSP Radio 1. That's the number 1.com. Click the podcast button, brings up Podbean, and yes, you listening to us right now, you could be one of our pod people. I'm sure that's what everybody aspires to.
To be a pod people, huh?
That's right. That's right. And who wouldn't want to be one of our pod people?
True.
But that's where you go. And by the way, folks, while you're over there at rspradio1.com, leaf through the pages, because we keep that thing updated every day but Sunday, and today was no exception. Diane, we got a lot of fresh content in there today.
Yeah. Well, we do every day, except Sunday.
Make sure you check out the political cartoon, political humor.
Yeah, those are funny. Today's is funny.
That's pretty good. But no, check out all of it. I mean, check out the science, the history, the technology, the 2020 elections. Check it all out.
Business,
lock and load, folks. It's all there. It's all there. And videos. We got some new videos in there, too.
Yes.
Don't forget the video page. All right. So last night, I literally made a bag of popcorn.
Okay.
Because I thought, boy, this is going to be it's going to be kind of a rootin' tootin' deal, and my God, it was every time. Let's put it this way: you can tell when Joe Biden is lying because he does it every time he opens his mouth.
Well, you know what really gave away his lies yesterday? When he put that smirk on. You know, when President Trump called him to task, he put this big, dumb grin on his face.
He kind of chuckled.
Yeah.
You know, and he'd look down. And every time the president was spanking him, because it was a spanking last night, every time, you know, Trump was laying it on, Biden wouldn't look at him.
No.
He wouldn't turn and face him.
And, you know, I don't know if a lot of people noticed this, but President Trump would address him as Joe or, you know, by name. Joe Biden never addressed him once by name.
No.
Not once.
Nope. And there are certain things that are tells, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell when somebody's uncomfortable. You can tell when they don't want to connect, when they don't want to engage. And you can tell when somebody is lying a lot of times just by body language, by certain phrases, things they do say, things they don't say.
Right. Well, it was very easy to tell that Joe Biden had these questions before, because like I said in the beginning, when the moderator first asked the question, he would immediately glance down. And then it was like he was reciting something. It's almost like he had cue cards in front of him. These were not spontaneous answers that he was giving, because when someone asks you a question, most people take a second or two. They think their answer through and they go forward. Bang, he started right off with like a recital.
Yeah,
everything
it was
weird.
Like
a recital.
It was really strange.
Terrible.
Yeah. He did. Do you think he was medicated?
Yes.
Just a little?
Mm-hmm.
He was like a spastic monkey.
Yeah. And when he tried to say Rudy Giuliani's name and it came out all garbled, he couldn't say Rudy. The man was on something, whether it was something to keep him awake, something to treat a condition he doesn't want to admit he has, whether it was Valium to calm his nerves, because if you notice, every time President Trump, and I loved when he said, you know, you're the big guy, the chairman. I mean, I love how he got that in every time. But the demeanor and the look on Joe Biden's face was painful to watch.
It was. It was. And I'm glad you brought that up about whenever he said certain names like Rudy Giuliani or there were several others.
Yes.
You and I didn't talk about this earlier today, but it made me think that his mouth was moving faster than his brain. And I'm not trying to be snarky here. I'm just saying that he was trying to say so much so fast, and his brain literally couldn't keep up with what he was doing.
Remember, if you're talking about somebody with dementia, which we do believe he is, if anything, in the early stages of serious dementia, when somebody has dementia medically, the connection between the brain, the vocal cords, the thinking processes are all interrupted to some degree.
Right.
So his thoughts might have been going slower than words coming out of his mouth, or vice versa. Joe Biden is not a well man. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. He's got one hell of a rotten wife who would allow her husband to go out in public and make a fool of himself like that.
I can't agree with you more. I mean, it's if it wasn't for the situation that it is, it would be terribly sad.
It is sad, even though he, you know, I can't stand the man. I can't stand his policies, what he stands for. Part of me feels bad for him because he's a victim of his own family who is using him for their power. His wife, Jill, she's power hungry to be first lady. She
it's
has
obvious.
To see what's wrong with him.
It's obvious.
Yeah. I mean, in that respect, I actually feel sorry for him.
Well, you're more charitable in that regard than I am. I mean, look, the simple fact of the matter is his wife pushes him out there. The DNC pushes him out there. Right. He's being used as a puppet for a third term for Obama. He's a placeholder for Kamala Harris.
Right.
You know, and he had to know going in. I mean, well before the nomination, well before even the beginning of the campaign that, you know, I'm sliding here and I shouldn't be doing this. So,
but you know what? He might know all this. He might have at one time understood it. But now his mind is so far gone, he doesn't even remember probably that he does know what they were doing to him.
You know, it could very well be. Last night, one of the things he said early in the debate was, well, we're going to walk and chew gum at the same time. And I thought, Joe, you can't chew gum and chew gum at the same time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You know, go ahead.
No, it was just, it's so many things that Joe said last night, so many things that he said that were just patently false. When he stood up there and said not one single person lost their health insurance under Obamacare.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I just about fell off my chair.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, PolitiFact actually did a analysis of certain lines, and they said more than 4 million Americans lost their private health insurance because of Obamacare. And here it was. Biden came out and actually said he's going to expand Obamacare, and it's going to be known as Bidencare.
And you know what else he said about it that just about made me blow my top?
What?
He said, you know, if you've got health insurance now, you're not going to lose it. Well, where have we heard that before?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you like your doctor and you like your policy, you can keep your doctor and you can keep your policy. I thought, well, here we go again.
Right. Right. I mean,
crazy.
It's just absolutely ridiculous what's going on here with him, because what he is proposing when he said, oh, we'll have some part private insurance, whatever, but the government will decide this and that and whatever. The bottom line is that's socialized medicine. No matter how he wants to package it, that's socialized medicine.
And President Trump kept pointing that out. And Joe's like, no, it's not. No, it's not. Yes, it is.
Yeah, well, you
sure
know, one
hell
of the
is.
Things that got to me when they got into the discussion about COVID, and President Trump was very wise in what he said. He said, you know, we are learning now to live with COVID-19, meaning, you know, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. So what is Joe Biden's response? But we're learning to die with COVID-19.
Well, he is a ray of sunshine.
What a pessimist.
Yeah, he's a ray of sunshine, isn't he?
Isn't he, though? And we cannot stress this enough, folks. 331 million Americans in this country. Out of that, about 7.5 million have contracted COVID. Out of that, roughly, I think it's now up to 210,000 have died with COVID-19, not necessarily of COVID-19, meaning less than 3% of the population has been infected by COVID-19. What this basically means is, yes, the Chinese virus came in here. It is very bad. People are dying from it. However, 99% of the population gets over it, number one. And number two, when you have 7.5 million out of 331 million people, that's not a pandemic, folks. That's a bad flu season.
Yeah, at best.
At best.
You know?
Exactly. So what they did was they took the Chinese virus and made it political.
Exactly what they did.
Yeah.
Exactly. And
they're trying to turn the virus into a political weapon.
And they're trying to string it out until Tuesday, November 3rd.
Right.
You know?
And then, but, you know, Joe Biden's universal masks, he's going to shut down the economy again. That's not what Americans want.
No. No, and America can't do that.
No.
You know, I mean, but that's what the liberals want, because economic woe, economic disaster makes people reliant on the government for their every want and need.
And there's your socialism, folks.
There it is. There it is. Now, if I can just take a moment here on the off chance that Joe Biden is listening to Right Side Patriots tonight. I do have a question for him.
Okay.
May I?
Sure.
Joe, who built the cages, Joe? Who built the cages?
Oh, right, right. Gee, I think it was the same man who said if I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon Martin.
And Biden was part of that administration. So, you know, it was interesting to me last night that President Trump, every chance he got, would throw one of those in there, throw something like that in there.
Yes.
You know, he threw in, he you know, put out there the whole Hunter Biden thing, and he got the monetary figures in there that the Biden, you know, mafia family is getting from all this. I got to tell you, that moderator last night, okay, she had every opportunity, ample opportunity, and every you know, swung open door to follow up on that.
Mm-hmm.
And she wouldn't do it. She absolutely wouldn't do it. And every time Trump would bring that up, she'd hurry and rush and change the subject.
Well, she interrupted President Trump 111 times yesterday, at least 111 times. Joe Biden about 22 times. She also did not allow any discussion on foreign policy, because remember, President Trump is now nominated for 3 Nobel Peace Prizes for his Middle East policy. She could not allow President Trump to herald his foreign policy achievements, because while doing that, that would then bring out the truth of what the Obama and Biden administration did, how awful they were, the Muslim Brotherhood, ISIS, everything else. So she steered everything away from that. I was hoping Trump would find a way to sneak some of that in, but it didn't seem to work out that way.
No, just it didn't happen. I was hoping he would, but, you know, there just wasn't really an opening for that. And that's part of the moderator. I mean, she made sure they steered way clear of anything like that. But now, to be fair, you know, if we're going to mention that Trump has been nominated for 3 Nobel Peace Prizes,
mm-hmm.
then we also have to mention, in the sake of fairness and equal time, that Joe Biden himself has been nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize. The 3 nominations for President Trump, of course, have to do with the Israel deal that we talked about earlier, the Kosovo deal.
Hmm?
You know, for Biden, he was nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize for not sniffing anybody's hair in the last 2 weeks. But it's still a nomination.
Or waiting for young girls in Miami to grow up for 4 years so he can watch them dance.
Yeah.
Remember that one?
Good.
But, you know, there was something really strange. You know, if you remember back, Joe Biden made a reference to Hitler during the debate. And it had to do with relationships between countries. China, the U.S., whatever. But he referenced Hitler. Now, what Trump should have said was, when he said we had a good relationship with Hitler before the war, what Trump should have said is, come on, Joe, you spent the last 6 months in your basement. Didn't you watch the History Channel at all? You know, the man just, he doesn't grasp the severity of what Hitler was and how he can compare. He was comparing Trump getting along with Kim Jong-un. That's what brought this whole thing up with Hitler. But what Biden didn't realize, and Trump was able to bring forward, was because of his relationship, Kim has been sort of quiet. Nothing major has happened. Little tiny things here and there, but nothing major has happened. But with the Obama administration, let's see, the Chinese started building islands in the South China Sea.
Right.
You know, to do the military stuff and all that. I mean, aren't they? Don't Uncle Joe's handlers at least sit him in front of something educational, like you would a child?
Apparently,
so learn something.
Apparently not.
No.
You know, I mean that's just kind of the way it is. But yeah, I've always said when you're in a debate with somebody and you throw in Hitler, mm-hmm. you just lost.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you just lost because that is like the desperation. That's the Hail Mary.
Right. It's sad that now our, you know, education indoctrination centers, you know, which used to be known as our public schools, they're not even teaching the Holocaust anymore. So when people like Joe Biden make stupid remarks like that, we have a whole generation now that just doesn't get it.
Yep, it's true. It's sad, but it's true.
It is sad. It is sad. But, I mean, Craig, that debate last night, that was, I mean, I laughed so many times. It was lie after lie after lie.
Well, and you and I mean, we're both sitting there watching it. We're texting each other.
Right.
You know, back and forth, and you know, he lied here, he lied there. You know, one of the interesting things was we both noticed it at right about the same time. With about 30 minutes to go, the drugs started wearing off.
Yeah.
30 minutes to go, and Biden was starting to get a little droopy. He was stumbling over more and more and
slurring
more words and phrases, slurring, you know, and we both noticed that, like, oh, the drugs wore off. You know?
Yes.
Now, let me ask you this. Who won the debate?
Oh, gee, Mr. of the Obvious.
Well, the,
Trump,
look,
I
ask because I spent some time today, time I'll never get back in my life, by the way, mm-hmm. watching some of the other mainstream media sources.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay?
Heralding Biden. Mm-hmm.
Biden won big, Biden won huge, Biden, you know, absolutely obliterated President Trump. Well, so I decided to go look and see for myself. I mean, I watched it. I know who won. Okay. The Daily Wire, they ran a poll, 39,679 votes. Who won the night? Donald Trump, 95%, Joe Biden, 4%, draw 1%.
Right.
Yeah, that's the Daily Wire. Then I went over to the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Okay, who won tonight's presidential debate? 44,094 votes. Donald Trump, 92%. Joe Biden, 8%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, so then I went and I looked at CNN. Okay, I only got a couple more.
I was going to say CNN. Mm-hmm.
CNN had Joe Biden had a narrow edge, 53% to 47%. Okay,
for CNN, that's pretty good.
that's pretty good. And so you know, you're starting to know, you're starting to see the handwriting on the wall here. Fox News ran a poll. Trump won by 74% to 26%. But here's the kicker. Now, people are, you know, I saw people on social media today, and they're saying, well, you know, all these people that show these polls that say that Trump won, you know, these liberals writing in, they're saying, well, they're just looking at Republican polls. They're just looking at conservative pollsters, right? Mm-hmm. Well, how about ABC News? ABC,
yeah.
not known as a beehive of conservative activity.
Right.
They said President Donald Trump had 57% to Vice President Joe Biden's 43%. Even ABC, a bastion of liberalism, had Trump winning. But if that wasn't the kicker, I'll tell you what was. Megyn Kelly, who is no fan of Donald Trump's,
mm-hmm.
Megyn Kelly said Trump won the debate handily. Biden wasn't a force at all. That's a quote.
Well, here's something else I can give you. There was one of the people at CNN. I don't know his name offhand. I don't watch CNN, but I read the article. He actually came out and said Joe Biden absolutely 100% lied about the Obamacare numbers.
Well,
and he's been getting flack. He's been getting flack.
4 million people at least. And I think, quite honestly, I think it was a lot more than that.
Right.
4 million people at least lost their health insurance because of Obamacare.
Right.
You know, I mean, yeah. But it was just one lie like that after another, and then another one after that. I mean, it was crazy. It was crazy what Joe was saying.
Right.
You know, up there. And the coup de grace was when Trump pressed him on fracking.
I'll go you one step
He says you're gonna end fracking. You talk about ending fracking. I've never said I was gonna end. Yes, you did. We've got the videos, says Trump.
Right.
Biden says, prove it. Put the videos up on your website.
Right. Well, how about this one? We're gonna transition away from fossil fuels. There'll be no more oil. And President Trump jumped in and said, did you hear that, Texas? Did you hear that, Oklahoma? Did you hear that, Ohio? I mean, the man wants to do away with all fossil fuels. He absolutely admitted it last night. Do you know how many millions of people will be out of work because of that?
Do you know how many millions of people will die because
yes.
of that? Now, I'm not saying that facetiously, okay? Diane, you probably have a better handle on this than just about anybody I know personally.
Okay.
Because you eat lawn clippings.
I'm a vegetarian, folks.
Okay. Have you seen the size of the tractors and the combines and the farm equipment that it takes to get the food that you eat, that everybody eats, out of the field? I'm serious. Have you seen the size of these things?
They're right? Very big.
They're enormous, okay?
Yes.
They don't run on batteries.
No.
They run on diesel, okay?
Right.
Here's the thing. You do away with fossil fuels, you're not going to have any tractors. You're not going to have any farm equipment. You're not going to have any trucks to haul that stuff to the place where they process
it. Food. I'm not going to have any food to eat.
You're not going to have any food. Yeah. Okay, and it's not just you, Diane. It's everybody.
I know.
Okay?
I know.
You do away with fossil fuels, you're going to kill people. Lots of people. Mm-hmm. Millions of people.
But they don't care. The Democrats don't care. Remember, he actually also said the Green New Deal, we're going to tear everything down and then we're going to build it back up. And then President Trump said, oh, with little itty bitty tiny windows.
I know. That was great.
Yes.
That was great. Oh.
Yes. And
folks, it was quite the debacle last night. President Trump spanked Dementia Joe.
Yes.
And, you know, of course that, you know, we're going to end fracking. That video is all over the place today. You know, Biden says, I never said that.
Yeah.
All over the place. He said it over yes. and over and over, you know? So folks, it was a much more reserved debate than the first presidential debate of this season. But, you know, Trump won both debates handily. And,
but especially the second one, he came across as very presidential.
Yeah, he did. He did. And Biden came across as doom and gloom, and I'm going to try to scare you into voting for me. You know,
yeah.
I mean, that's really what it came down to. Well, folks, we do have one segment left. We got to get that in because we want to talk about Amy Coney Barrett and what's coming up next week. With her and what happened earlier this week with her.
Mm-hmm.
So, folks, you stay where you are. We're going to take a quick top-of-the-hour station ID break, and when we come back, we'll have that more. Right Side Patriots.
OTC is go.
Bank of business is go.
ETC is go.
Copy is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety cost is go.
STU is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Right Side Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not going to stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. Friday night edition of the show, final segment for tonight. And Diane, I got one more thing I want to say about that debate last night. The part of the debate where they were talking about illegal aliens and immigration and all that, and Joe was accusing President Trump of tearing families apart and separating children and, you know, all that. And President Trump says, you know, a lot of those kids came over here without parents. He said a lot of those kids were brought over here by coyotes.
Okay.
Right? And Biden was like, that's not true. You know, you separated families, you rip children from the arms of their parents, you know, and now nobody knows where those kids are. Nobody knows where those parents are. Okay, I've got a question for the liberals that have been trying to push that today.
Okay.
If those kids actually came here with their parents, why aren't their parents looking for them?
Because that makes sense.
You know, I think there's a much higher probability that a good, healthy number of those kids were brought over here by coyotes. They were part of human trafficking.
Absolutely.
You know, if they came over here with their parents and they got separated, their parents would be looking for them.
Right. I agree.
Just a simple question. All right. So, Judge, soon to be Justice Amy Coney Barrett, let's start with what happened earlier this week.
Okay.
The vote in the Judiciary Committee of the Senate was disgraceful. Not from a standpoint of the Republicans voting, but from the standpoint of the Democrats not showing up.
Yeah, that was a two-year-old child throwing a temper tantrum.
These are people that knew they were losing the argument. They knew they were going to lose the vote. And rather than sit there and participate as they are supposed to, rather than sit there and vote no, and every one of those leftists would have, they just simply didn't show up.
Right. Pre-planned, coordinated. In other words, I actually think every one of those senators need to be fired because they, when they're elected, they take an oath to do certain jobs. Well, one of the jobs of those sitting on the Judiciary Committee is actually to sit on the committee when it's in session. Every one of those senators who was not there should be fired. They didn't do their job.
Amy Coney Barrett wasn't the only judge that was up for a vote to move to the full Senate. There was a slug of them, and they ran through them, and it was 12 ayes and 10 no-shows on every one of them. These are good judges. These are good people. These are qualified people. Okay, and Amy Coney Barrett is perhaps absolutely the most qualified in the last half century, maybe longer, to be nominated to fill a position on the United States Supreme Court. And these liberals, these crybaby, panty-wadded liberals, refused to even sit there and vote no.
Right.
And I'll tell you something, folks. The reason for that is they know she's eminently qualified. They know she is absolutely a brilliant jurist. They know it. They can't stomach it.
Right. They absolutely cannot. They just can't. Yeah. And they not only cannot stand her because she's a conservative, but they don't like her because she's a practicing Christian. Not Christian, I'm sorry, Roman Catholic. She's a practicing Roman Catholic. And they have nothing to get her on. They can't get her on racism. She's not a racist. She's adopted two black children.
They tried.
Yeah, they did try. You're right. I mean, there were so many areas that they tried to get this woman on, and they just can't get her, and it really irks them.
Oh, they're livid. They're livid.
Yes.
You know, and rather than sit there and take part in it and have to justify, see, that's the problem. If they would have been there and voted no, they would have had to have somehow justified – voting no.
Right.
And they knew damn well there is no justification to vote against Judge Amy Coney Barrett.
Right.
Okay. And so rather than put themselves in a position to have to explain why they didn't think she was qualified, because she is and they damn well know it, they simply didn't come out of their holes. You know? But I will say this. Once it was all done, once they had held the votes on not only on Amy Coney Barrett, but on the other judges that are being, you know, moved to the federal judgeship and will now, you know, have their day on the floor of the Senate. There were several senators, Republicans all, because nobody else was there, who spoke. And I thought Senator Mike Lee was absolutely freaking brilliant.
Yes, he was. He was. I also thought Lindsey Graham did very well, and Ted Cruz did extremely well also.
You know, when you combine the what Mike Lee said and what Senator Ted Cruz said, when you combine those two, it tells an enormous story. Because Senator Lee laid out the entire timeline of how we got to the point we got to, why this is so partisan. Now, the hatred, the vileness, the rhetoric, the baseless claims, the allegations that have been made by the left over and over and over with various nominees to the Supreme Court, beginning with Bork.
Right.
Okay, and coming up all the way to the present, and how the Republicans never responded in kind. They never tried to bork anybody, the Republicans.
Right.
You know, solely the purview of the liberals. And, I mean, he did a brilliant job of laying that out.
Yes,
when Ted Cruz spoke, he showed the rest of the story.
Right.
You know, and two brilliant people right there.
Yeah, I someday I think Ted Cruz will be sitting on the Supreme Court. But you know what was also amazing is that after they had the vote and it's moving towards the Senate, our very favorite Chucky, you know, Chucky the Clown, Chuck Schumer, the Senate Minority Leader, he actually said that Barrett's confirmation will have dire consequences for the nation, for the Supreme Court, and our entire country for generations to come. Well, I guess Chucky was having a bit of a Joe Biden moment, because what's the difference between consequences for the nation and our entire country? Isn't that the same thing?
Kind of seems like it ought to be.
Doesn't it, though? I mean, these Democrats, their brains are fried.
It was a stunning display of childish behavior by the liberals.
Yes.
In that Judiciary Committee. But the good news is they didn't need them. They,
right.
They moved Judge Coney Barrett's nomination forward.
Right.
And it will now see its day on the floor of the Senate Monday.
Don't think there's not going to be other theatrics. Either they're not going to show up again, the Democrats. The thing I'm worried about is the Democrats don't show up. Mikulski and Collins vote no. Okay, Mike Pence is always the tiebreaker, so, you know, we know we're going to get it. But heaven forbid one or two other Republicans sell us out. Now, Romney said he's voting for her. So let's say, you know, one of the others that are kind of, you know, rhino-y in nature, they vote no. She could still not get the nomination.
Yeah, she's going to get it. And I'm going to make an odd prediction here, considering the situation as it is.
Oh, I think she's going to get it, too. I think she'll get it, too. But
I'm going to make an odd prediction here. I think Collins and Murkowski are going to vote for her.
One of them today said absolutely no. I don't remember which one right now.
Today they had the vote on moving it to the floor.
Right, and that's different than the actual vote.
And those two voted against doing that. I think they're against the procedure. But I think when it comes to voting her up or down, okay, which is a vote on her qualifications. That's not a vote on procedure. That's a vote on her qualifications as a jurist.
Right.
I don't think they want to be in a position just to try and tell their constituents why they don't think she's qualified. I think at the end of the day on Monday, I think they'll vote for her. I just got a weird feeling.
It's possible one of them might give in, but I don't think they both will. I don't know why. Maybe the same feeling that you have that they will, I have that they won't. I hope I'm wrong, and I hope you're right. But I don't know. I got a sneaky suspicion that they're going to hold true.
Look, you could very well be right about that. Okay, but I just think, you know, this is not a vote on procedure. This is not a vote on moving it forward or doing it before the election coming up on the 3rd. This vote coming up on Monday is solely 100% about, is she qualified to be a Supreme Court justice?
Well, what makes you think that they're going to follow the rules as to what this vote pertains to?
They know what it pertains to. There's no rule as to what it pertains to. They know what it pertains to.
Right. And they could always not listen to it. We don't want her. You remember, you're talking about two rhino senators.
I know.
It's two conservatives.
I know that. And that's why I said it's going to be kind of an odd prediction that I'm making. You know, I mean, given the situation, as I said, it's kind of an odd prediction. But, you know, part of me that makes me want to say that is because McConnell and Lindsey Graham and Ted Cruz, all three, have said, we've got the votes. It ends on Monday. We've got the votes. I mean, they are rock solid.
They might have the fact votes, they got them. That doesn't. They might have the votes, but that doesn't mean it's going to be straight down the line. I hope it is, but I don't know. Those two women. Oh. They really need a D after their name.
They're loose cannons.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that, but. Monday's going to be a huge day. Now, if she's confirmed on Monday, my guess, and I haven't seen any timeline on this, Diane, maybe you have. My guess is they'll swear her in probably Tuesday.
The only thing I do know for a fact is that she will be sworn in sometime next week to make it in time for the election.
Right.
And it could very well be Tuesday. I got news for you. It could be Monday night as well.
It could be, but I think they're going to want to do it in the bright light of day. My guess is it'll happen in the Rose Garden.
That's usually where some past ones have been sworn in, so that's very possible.
You know, I mean, it's going to be a momentous day, and it's going to be historic because what we are witnessing in this is the seating as a Supreme Court justice of probably the most well-read, well-schooled, well-respected originalists to ever come down the pike.
Right. She is an originalist. She understands the Constitution. She knows it's the rule of law. But the best thing about her is she is not an activist judge. She's a constitutionalist and originalist. She will interpret. interpret the Constitution. She will not legislate from the bench. And that's key.
That's huge. That's yes. Absolutely huge. All right. In the few minutes that we've got left,
I have to throw in one thing from last night that okay. I just got now. Okay. Our little friend, Uncle Joe. Remember I mentioned the word Biden care?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is now his little blurbage about Biden care. Lower premiums, deductibles, and drug prices offer everyone a choice. Keep private insurance or join a Medicare-like public option. Everyone can have coverage. Well, here is the key, folks. Medicare-like public option.
Uh-huh.
Where is your socialized medicine?
Well, and where have we heard that dog and pony show before? You know, if you like your insurance, you can keep your insurance. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor.
Yeah, Obama.
It's Obamacare. Yeah, it's repackaged.
It's going to be called Biden care.
Well, it's altogether different.
Yeah.
I mean, good God. You know, it's just, you know, he's making the same promises that Obama made. And you don't think this is going to be the third term for Obama, folks?
Oh, of course. We've been saying that since day one.
Well, I know, but I mean, now you're actually getting some policy talk out of the man. It's Obama's policies.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean,
God.
And I'm now right looking at some poll numbers from these, you know, same pollsters who predicted a Hillary landslide.
Right.
Former vice president leads Trump 54-43 among likely voters.
Those are dead people, by the way. The likely voters, that means
yeah,
dead.
Yeah. Ruth Bader Ginsburg is leading them to the polls, right? I mean, this is the poll. When the polls call this one wrong again, the pollsters are finished.
Yeah.
And you know what? We don't need polls. Why do we really need them? They've been wrong for so many races, not just presidential, but Senate and congressional and everything else.
Well, and along those lines, you know, you're talking about what do we need the polls for? Frank Luntz, I think most people probably know who Frank Luntz is.
Right. He's the one that said his job will be finished.
Yeah, he said his job's over if Trump wins because the polls would be useless.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is. Now, folks, look, we've got a few minutes left here. And other than talking about it a little bit when we talked about, you know, the debate last night, you may have noticed a suspicious absence of talking about the Biden email situation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a reason why we have been neglecting that tonight. And
well,
Diane, you
talk about it on Tuesday.
Well, you did a whole segment on Tuesday.
Yes.
Regarding it. You're coming back next Tuesday with another segment.
Oh, yeah. A follow-up. And it's not pretty for Uncle Joe.
Getting worse by the day, isn't it?
Oh, much, much worse.
Folks, I got to tell you, Diane's been doing a ton of research.
Oh, yeah.
On this. She's been digging in. She's been telling me little bits and pieces of what she's finding. And, you know, there's going to be a lot more that has come out since Tuesday. There's going to be more that comes out this weekend. By the time we get to Tuesday's show, that's a whole nother segment. And I told Diane, I said, you might get up to part 27 on this before.
I know.
You know? So you really, you know, you don't want to miss Tuesday's show because Diane's going to have all of the upfront, fresh, new information coming from this thing. And there's going to be a ton of it.
Oh, yes. Yes. And my problem is, you know, editorial wise for our blogs and for the website and also for the newspapers that carry us, we are held to a certain amount of words. Well, there is so much that is now coming to light about the Bidens that Tuesday might, even though it has a different title, it might actually be part two of last week's, and there might be a part three, four, and five, the way this is going.
We'll have to see if you get to the end of that or we get a full count on the election, whichever comes first.
Whatever comes first.
You know, it's going to take a while. Next Tuesday, I'm getting into, obviously, we're, you know, but next Tuesday is a week from Election Day.
Yes.
Okay? And while I realize a lot of people have already voted, there's a lot of people that haven't. And so
right.
I am once again doing an election, very heavily election-oriented piece. I brush up against the Biden email thing, but it really deals with something that Joe Biden said earlier this week that really struck me. And to be quite frank with you, it pissed me off.
Okay.
And I kind of based the commentary on that.
Okay.
Okay, and you'll just have to wait till Tuesday, but trust me, you do not want to miss Tuesday's show. All right, if you're looking for Diane's op-eds, you find them at thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com. If you're looking for my commentaries, you find those at thenationalpatriot.com. Now, there's an easy way to do this. If you go to rspradio1.com, all of our op-eds and commentaries are right there on the homepage. Just click into them. It'll take you to our blogs, and you can go rifling through years of what we've written.
Yes.
You know, that's the easiest way to get there. rspradio1.com, the podcast button on that website will take you to Podbean, and that's where our radio archives are located. And then go through the other pages and see all the different content that we have in there that we update every day but Sunday. And make rspradio1.com, make that your go-to website.
It's a very interesting website because we have videos. We have we basically cover all the major topics: the election, business, world news, science, technology, history, lock and load, which is Second Amendment, basically, guys, political cartoons, also Wild Bill for America. We have his videos whenever he puts them up. He's a personal friend of mine, and also he's part of, you know, we brought him in to the Right Side Patriot family, let's put it that way. And as we get further along, we are going to be adding more people. Craig and I are still basically learning the ropes because this is an actual radio station. We're not Blog Talk Radio. So we're still learning the ropes about certain things, about interactive websites. So just bear with us a little bit.
Yep. It takes a little while to get a handle, you know,
yes,
on all of this. But folks, we want to just thank you for being with us tonight. If you missed any part of the show, the podcast will be up tomorrow morning. Again, go to rspradio1.com, hit the podcast button, and there you go. It'll be right there. But with that, Diane, we have come to the end of a Friday night show.
Yes, we have.
What do you say we just wrap this thing up in a nice little package and say goodnight?
Okay. Nighty-night, folks.
Good night, everybody. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next Tuesday.